Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are the Lord. from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to support me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be comfortable. It does take on additional meaning when the pews are cushioned, doesn't it? About a dozen years ago, Kathleen and I and our two little kids moved to Manhattan. And while some of you, maybe most of you, have moved before, we're not a moving family. We just don't move a lot. We sort of stay one place and snuggle in, and there we are. So it was somewhat disturbing to move, even though we knew exactly where we were going to live, because of all the details of moving, that you've got to find a new place to buy sausages and oatmeal, and you got to find the right place to iron your shirts, and you got to find a place to cut your hair. So I looked for a long time, and I finally found a place. It's a little chainlet. They have like three locations in Manhattan. And I thought it was called Jean Lewis David, but I have now learned, because now we live back in Manhattan, it was not Jean Lewis David, it's Jean-Louis David. So my barber was at Jean-Louis David, and his name was Peter, and he was from Russia. Now, I don't know why it is that in Manhattan most of the barbers are Russian. I don't know, but that is a fact. It's like, why were all the cops at the turn of the century in Manhattan Irish? I don't know. But somehow, most of the barbers in Manhattan are Russian. And so Peter was my barber. And so Peter, he talked with accent like this. And I really liked it. Oh, I loved our relationship. We talked about all sorts of things, because here I was going through these life-changing moments of being a seminarian, and he was going through life-changing moments of moving to... moving to southern Brooklyn and Brighton, and we had a nice relationship. And I liked how he cut my hair. Now, I don't know if you can really see, but I bet you can, because I think that even the Methodists could see this fact. I have big ears, and I like a haircut that sort of hides that. And so Peter, he could figure that out. He knew exactly what to do so that I didn't look like Dumbo. And I really liked Peter. I liked him a lot. Well, after 3 years, we left Manhattan and moved down here, and I worked across the street for a while and then went down to Orange Park after a while, and I would periodically go back to New York, and the Jean-Louis David store on Madison Avenue was there, and I would go see Peter, and that was good. And then, I don't know, about 8 years ago, I went by there one time. No Jean-Louis David. No Peter. I didn't know where Peter went. All gone. It was a underwear store there or something. It made me sad. It made me really sad. And so about a month ago, I'm walking up 6th Avenue, because now we live in Manhattan again. And I wasn't looking for a barber, but there was the Jean-Louis David store on 6th Avenue. And I thought, I wonder if Peter's in there. And so I looked through the big plate glass window, and there was Peter cutting hair. I couldn't believe I found Peter. I walked in the door, I caught his attention. He looked up, he put down his scissors and say, "Where you been?" Where you been? 10 years later, the barber who I saw once a month, that's it. Where you been? I think that's what God is saying to us all the time, all the time. Where you been? Where you been? This morning, as we read this Genesis story about Jacob wrestling with God, I always like the questions that people ask. They often say, "Is that a literal story, or is it metaphorical?" And I always like to say, "Yes, that's right, it is." Did Jacob wrestle with God? Yes. Is it somehow a story about you and me wrestling with God? Yes, it is. But the important thing there is they did something that was so intimate, so together, that they touched flesh. And when they touched flesh and they struggled together, Jacob's name was changed. He became someone new and someone different. He became someone so new and so different that he took on the identity of all of God's children. His name was now Israel. His name could have been St. John's Cathedral. It could have been Manhattan. He could have been Peter, I suppose. But when you touch God that intimately, you are changed. You are changed. I remember the first time that Kathleen and I really got intimate together. It was when we first prayed together. It was about 3 or 4 years after we had been married, and I was paying bills one night. Now, this is an ordinary pedestrian function that most of us do. At least once a month, we sit down and we pay our bills. And I remember writing checks and putting them in the envelope and licking and putting them on the side and stamping them. And I had just written the check to our little club that we were members of. I licked it and I put it aside and I stamped it. And the next one was writing the monthly pledge to our church. And I wrote the check. And I could not believe the dissimilarity in the check I had just written to the body of Christ that we called St. Mark's and the check I had just put aside called our little club. And I stood there and I stared and I stared, and it was like one of those moments where in The Grinch That Stole Christmas, you know how he's on top of the mountain and he's got all the presents and they're singing down in Whoville and he can't understand it. He just stood there listening for a while, not understanding it, but knowing something deep was going on inside of him. Well, that's how I felt. I kept looking at the check. I just couldn't get it. And so I went out and I talked to Kathleen, and she said, well, I think we need to pray about this. There are many things that all of us do well and other things we don't do well. And as a priest, one of the things I'm called to do, and hopefully do it well, is premarital counseling. I don't do it well. I don't like it. And so if I don't like it, I don't do it well. But I nonetheless have to. So I see going to General Seminary as a little gift from God saying, you don't have to do this for a while. But when I do it, the one thing I am sure to do is to tell the new couple that it doesn't matter the level of intimacy that they have been involved with at that point. I'm going to give them an assignment which will transcend everything that they think that they have done. And that is, I want them to go out. And from that day, at least until they're married, if I'm going to do it, and hopefully it'll stick thereafter, I want them on a regular, daily basis to come together and to pray out loud using words that the other can hear. Now, it doesn't matter if you've seen each other naked before. That is more intimate. And so Kathleen and I, that moment that I couldn't understand the difference between these offerings, we got together and she said, let's pray about it. I was scared. I was scared. Because what she was suggesting is that we wrestle with God and do so openly and let the other person in on our intimate thoughts. What God said back is, I want you to take stock of what you're doing because it's not so bad, but I want more out of you. And that's when we got on a journey realizing that the little tiny amount that we were giving to the church and giving away to God's people should be increased. Now, could it do it like that? Of course not. Those kind of changes are tough. But nonetheless, it began with a moment of intimacy, and it changed our lives. We got new names. In Luke's retelling of Jesus' story, in talking to his disciples about what you might think is the way to pray, but really what he's saying, it's about the way to be, is important. You see, Jesus tells the story of two people coming into the temple and the church and the holy space and saying, I want to engage with God. Now, our translation doesn't do it justice because the Pharisee, we say in the translation read in most of our churches, the Pharisee prayed thusly. I always like it when Scripture says stuff like that. I don't know what praying thusly means. What the original word says is something close to the Pharisee prayed to himself. To himself. The tax collector, that scoundrel, was in the back. He was willing to let God in on the most intimate of his feelings. Was it a story that Jesus was telling you and me? Because it could have been. Instead of he told his disciples, he told the people at St. John's. Was it he was telling us how to pray? Yes. Could it be he was trying to make the distinction between being the whitewashed Pharisee versus the genuine sinner tax collector? Yes, it could be. But go deeper, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Go deeper. That what Jesus is telling us in that story is be intimate. Be intimate. There are tough ways to be intimate these days. Tough ways. But we are given one. We're given one because we hold it so tightly. It's like these couples that I dislike counseling in their premarital sessions. I tell them, do something that's going to make you uncomfortable. Because when you do, God will find his way in. Pray out loud, using words that the person next to you can hear. And what you are going to be given an opportunity to do next week is something very similar to that. You're going to be given an opportunity to pray using words God can understand. From the most intimate part of your being, your cathedral family, that family of God that I saw all those pictures of in Tolliver Hall, the ones that you've been talking about for weeks and months now, what you're going to be saying to those people is, I'm going to do something intimate. I'm going to do something that is so deep and comes from a place of such protection that I'm going to open it up and I'm going to give it away. You see, that's what stewardship is about. Is it about totting up the numbers and figuring out, how do we keep the lights on? How does Perry buy groceries? How do the notes come out of the organ? No, it's so much deeper. It's almost immaterial what happens with that intimate gift that you're giving. Almost. See, I said almost. Because the treasurer would haul me out of here if I didn't say almost. But it's far more significant. Far more significant. The giving rather than the receiving. God is calling us. God is calling us to do intimate things with God. Prayer. What could be more intimate? Getting together with the person you trust and love the very most in life and using words to come out. Because when you return that way, then those words that I heard on 6th Avenue just a little while ago come out again from God in heaven. And he says to us, so where you been? Where you been? Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became the incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Almighty Father, through the waters of baptism, you have made us your children. Help us to live more fully as a part of your family of saints. Living God,
you are our present.
You have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. We pray especially for the Church of Sudan. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the people of the Middle East. Guide those in authority around the world that there may be greater understanding among all people. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who have died that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow those ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Fashion us in your image and likeness, O God, that we may serve you as your children all our days. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome all. Good to see you. We welcome back home, First Uncle. Thank you. And Kathleen's here, too. Where are you, Kathleen? Kate's away, as you see, and it was great to hear Kurt. She left me a very long list of things to tell you. I am not going to do this. It just doesn't work. I mean, she likes short announcements, and this is 2 pages. All right, here we go. A retreat this week, or not this weekend, but November 15th to the 17th at Camp Weed. Sign up and buy tickets for the Choir Talent Show. And just remember, next week, November the 3rd, it's daylight savings time. And please, it's fallback, right? Okay, great. Thank you all for being here. Ascribing to the Lord gifts and honor due his name.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to a new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Just one administrative footnote so I don't get in a lot of trouble with the dean. Read your bulletin and you will find all the announcements in detail. And I'll pray for forgiveness right now. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.